first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. You can go all for all the latest stories or listen to your most recent podcasts of this show itself. Yes, while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com or EdSpringsteen.com, please join our RSS feed and our email newsletter where we can send this stuff direct to your inbox each and every week. For those of you who are new to the show, phone-in numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys in the listening queue, as always, make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad so that we know that you want to get on air. And for those of you who just like to chat, we have a live chat. Yes, we do, right here. And you can sign in using either your BTR account or you can use your Facebook or Twitter profiles, whatever's good for you. Looks like Ed Martin is running late tonight. Not sure what's going on there. I guess we'll find out. In the meantime, so many things are happening. I tell you, it never stops. For some reason, it just never, ever stops. Don't know why. But, you know, we can't seem to get anything straight in this country, so I always have plenty to talk about. And that's a good thing, I guess, or you guys wouldn't be here. I tell you, we're going to start off with a few things tonight that are really kind of interesting. One of the biggest problems we have in Louisville has to do with drug situation And we're going to get into that story. We're going to talk a little bit about Suboxone and what it does. How are you, Mr. Martin?
What up, Mr. Springsteen? It had a lovely week, and it was like springtime, and then all of a sudden it got hot again. So.
Yeah, I tell you, it was really warm this afternoon here. Do what?
I'm getting too old for this crap.
Believe me, I understand. I totally understand. I'm feeling it more and more every day, but I get enlivened every morning when I wake up and I see how screwed up everything always is. It gets me excited enough to get through the day. I tell you, man, we have got so many things. Do you remember a show we did a while back on Suboxone? It has basically taken over on the streets as a drug. Well, lo and behold, you know, it's really strange, but the Courier-Journal finally has decided to do a story on it. Essentially, we brought Suboxone to you a couple of years ago, folks, because it had started being a drug that they were using to treat people that were addicted to OxyContin. But it turns out that the Suboxone really, to a lot of people, was no different than being addicted to OxyContin. You just went from one addiction to the other. And the Courier-Journal did an excellent story on that over the weekend. But the hardest part is realizing that it took everybody this long to talk about what we've been saying forever. One of the biggest problems with Suboxone is that now people are starting to dissolve. And let me explain what Suboxone is. It's always been a tablet that was put underneath your tongue. We've lost Ed Martin for some reason. I'm not sure what's going on there. But it's a tablet that you can put under your tongue that dissolved into your system. And ultimately, they eventually turned this into strips that you can actually put on your tongue. Well, what's happening now is that these strips are actually being dissolved in water by people and being injected direct into their veins, as you would heroin or anything like that. So Suboxone has become a big problem in Louisville, and we're just now starting to address this. According to Kenny Stearns III, this was a guy that they quoted in there. He said the first few times he used Suboxone, he could get really high from it. Then he just felt normal. He wasn't high, but he wasn't sick either. And for him, it was just trading one addiction for another. And let me explain. That was the whole purpose of Suboxone. Suboxone is supposed to have just enough opiates in it. The Suboxone is supposed to have just enough opiates in it so that you don't have the withdrawals and everything else that you normally would from an OxyContin. And at the same time, it had something, an agent in it that would keep you from being sick. So people, that's why it was originally sold and approved as a treatment for OxyContin addiction and things like that. Unfortunately, what happened, it's the same as everything else. You know, you're just trading one addiction for another, as Mr. Stearns had pointed out. And additionally, a lot of people that are using Suboxone are now turning to heroin. They start dissolving these strips, shooting them into their veins. They're not doing what they want them to do, so they just switch to the next drug. So you're going out and getting Suboxone prescriptions from these cash doctors, and there's plenty of them around Louisville. And in the very near future, we're going to out a lot of those cash doctors. You go in there, you pay the doctor cash, he gives you a subscription for Suboxone. You go out on the street, you sell those pills for $20 to $30 a piece, and then you go buy your heroin cheaper and get high. It's a big business. So this is one of the things that we're finally starting to talk about. Why it's taking so long, I have no idea. What do you think, Mr. Martin?
Well, you know, I hate to sound sometimes like a liberal, but, you know, the only cure or the only treatment to this is literally to have treatment. It's obvious that devoid of treatment, not only will drug addicts find a way to, you know, for the next time, you know, the next different hire or whatever, they'll find a way to do commerce with it. You know, they're good at exchange rates on drugs. So, I mean, it's just, you know, on one hand, yeah, we could cut it off.
Right.
You know, I know the bad doctors are definitely, you know, they're a problem, but then when you start running into the problem, you know, do you start taking doctors out? And then again, some of the doctors, like you said, some of them are bad. They're cash doctors. They know they're encouraging and developing a problem out there. But I'm sure there's other doctors that are getting totally scammed by these addicts. A doctor, you know, might have his suspicions, but You know, these addicts, they're good. Like you say, it's just treatment. You know, we got to decide as a society whether it's just going to be treatment or whether we're just going to, you know, cut the cord, so to speak, and watch them wither away under a bridge. I'm not. It's sometimes, you know, that's, you hate to think it, but that's sometimes after all else fails, it's just like holy hell. You want to just throw your hands up and say, hey, good luck.
Well, there's a lot more to it, though, because Dr. James Patrick Murphy is quoted in this article. He's a specialist in pain and addiction medicine, and he said that Suboxone actually can be a life-saving treatment if it's prescribed correctly, monitored closely, and is coupled with therapy or some sort of support group. But unfortunately, most of these doctors aren't following up with this. They're prescribing the medication and not following through with their patients on the rest of it. You know, and what we've seen here basically is, you know, we've seen this so-called reduction in pill mills, so the Florida pipeline is shutting down. But that's only because places like that who are doing this illegally are now opening up all these Suboxone clinics, and most of which are turning out to be cash only. You know, it's very, very disturbing. You know, and according to the Courier-Journal report, 14%, which is 45 of 330 doctors, have a history of discipline by the medical board for illegally prescribing this. And we continue to see these stories every day. Why, I guess my question is, why has it taken so long to address an issue that we've talked about for a couple of years now, that other people have talked about for a couple of years now? I mean, this is not something new, but they were so focused on shutting down the Florida pill mill that they basically turned their back on all of these cash-only clinics opening up, which were essentially making the problem worse. That's why heroin is on the rise. It was a next step. Why did we get to that point? Why is nobody paying attention?
Well, in Kentucky, I'm going to say part of the problem is our attorney general. You know, he's looking
there
for
you
a good impact, but he's going to milk one thing for as long as he can because he's just not very good at what he does. You know, it's like, okay, well, let's just say our attorney general is not a multitasker. That's a good place to start. And I would say our county attorneys are not very good multitaskers. They're busy going after people like David James who don't toe the line for the Democrat mafia. I'd say, you know, in part it's political. You know, we're no strangers to taking a swipe at the local media, and sometimes the local corporate media is kind of lazy. You know, this is not the story with that craziness like bath salts or anything. So. You know, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. So I think it's a combination of stuff. But with regard to drugs and things like that, and the fact that it's an illegal activity and that it's a high-profit illegal activity,
right,
that makes the Attorney General to be involved, and he's not.
Well, I tell you, and that's the big concern. So they only get involved when they want to get some play for an election year. Maybe that's why Suboxone is coming up now. It's an election year. You know, Jack Conway is going to have an uphill battle, you know, going into next year's governor's race and things like that. You know, so maybe that's why they're bringing it up. I don't know. But according to Karen Haskell, the president of the Healing Place, you know, she's on record as saying that the Suboxone abuse is huge, that for a lot of people it's their primary drug of addiction. They're choosing Suboxone over other drugs. And I guess if you can simplify it and liquefy it and put it into a needle and shoot up like a heroin to get that instant buzz, sure, why not? And if you can sell those for $20 to $30 a piece and go buy heroin for half that price, you know, and get the same effect, why not? You know, so I mean, this is a major epidemic that's starting to take shape. But again, it's something that we've pointed out and other people have pointed out for a couple of years and always been ignored. I tell you, it's crazy. I want to move on to this next story, Ed. This is coming out of the Daily Mail because you're not going to see this stuff here in the States unless you get it somewhere else. But a bank teller in northern Kentucky was fired. Polly Neese was a bank teller with U.S. Bank in Walton, Kentucky. She'd been there for 24 hours, and she claims she was fired for telling a customer to have a blessed day. Apparently, the U.S. Bank said that her termination was based on her religious beliefs. And it started to, the U.S. Bank went on record to say that it started in March 2011 because someone complained that, that Patty Niece had told them to have a blessed day, or Polly Niece, I'm sorry. And that was a code of ethics violation at U.S. Bank. And then U.S. Bank said several customers have started complaining about her using the phrase. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'll tell people to have a blessed day, have a good day, have whatever day. You know, I don't know of anybody who has ever complained about wishing you well, less, you know, much less several customers. She had been in trouble before. We're not going to lie about that. She had been in trouble before. She had received a code of ethics violation, but she felt that they were stifling her religious beliefs. Now, if we can force the Muslim religious beliefs on everybody in this country, and we can't say the word blessed, how far has political correctness went? Go ahead.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting. I'd be interested to see if U.S. Bank has ever, you know, if there's ever been an incident of a different religion. But you know, it's blessed is such a generic term. I mean, it's she's not saying, you know, may God bless you, or may Yahweh bless you, or you know, yeah, you know, whatever. Allah is.
Well, it's funny you use that term.
She's saying having a blessed day. It's like, that's like saying having, you know, have a prosperous day, have a productive day, have a wonderful day.
It's funny you mentioned God bless you though. Because you mentioned God bless you. She was actually reprimanded one time because one of the customers who went through drive-through where she was working that day, one of her customers said God bless you to her, and she responded, thank you, God bless you too, and was pulled into the office to be reprimanded for it. When she got pulled into the office, she joked with the manager and said, maybe I should just go back to saying have a blessed day, and she was fired on the spot. You know, is this what we expect in America? Is this what we've come to?
You know, because I'll be honest, when I go to Walmart, there's a couple people in Sam's Club, I get it often, and it absolutely doesn't offend you. You know, I don't know who's getting, you know, who's the liper offended in a blessed day, because it is such a, it is so generic, you know. You know, it's not like she's looking at him, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses bless you, or anything like that. It's just a really nice way, or, you know, maybe with a touch of religion, since that's what it's, you know, people assume in here, blessed, but my gosh, it's just, like, she's just saying, have a wonderful day, you know? Hey,
exactly.
You have a wonderful day, too. You know, and if somebody's going to get all hypersensitive about that, well, then just say, you know, hey, guys, what would happen if she said, well, may you not have a blessed day?
Well, you know, that's it. You know, screw you, have a bad day. Would that have been okay within the ethics? You know, I don't understand any of that. And that, I guess, is a big problem for me is how can you sit here and, you know, be content with firing an employee for wishing someone well with a smile on their face. That should be a great thing. And then you're talking about Northern Kentucky or Walton, Kentucky, which primarily is ultra-conservative, who believe in God anyway, for the most part. And you're going to tell me that you had several customers come into a U.S. bank and complain because someone said, have a blessed day. It just defies common sense or logic to someone outside like me. So I'm really curious to see what happens with this lawsuit. U.S. Bank has vowed to fight the lawsuit. We'll see what happens. Go ahead.
I was going to say, as with anything, with the termination of an employee, there should be some documentation. So during the discovery phase or something, if in fact that happened, then surely this manager, especially since he was ready to pull the trigger and get rid of her, has written, you know, has other written reprimands, and surely they documented the complaint. You know, they're not just pulling this stuff out of thin air. You know, manufacturing out of nothing. So it will be interesting to see.
Right.
I would say fair enough. If customers were complaining and management has to not to do that anymore, you're getting complaints, well, then as an employee, you quit. But, yeah, to me it just seems – to us it seems unbelievable. Maybe somebody did complain. I'd say if they did, then they were in the right – you know, if they could say, hey, look, we've had a few complaints on you today. Here's emails or whatever. And there were some complaints. You have to stop this. And if she didn't, yeah, justified termination. But you know, for you and I and most people out there, we do. We sit there and listen to it, and we think, surely not. Surely nobody actually called up the bank, got out of their car or something. You know, surely a coworker doesn't have a rod up their ass so bad that, you know, when they hear somebody on the speaker say, bless, you know, well, bless you too. You know, surely they, a little friendly customer service oriented banter didn't offend one of the other employees there. At which point, you know, I would go to that bank and figure out which store it is and say, "We have a blessed day." And when they scowled at me, I'd complain to the manager, like, "My God, I can't even carry on a conversation with this person without them growling at me like a beaten pit bull."
Well, I hear you, man. I hear you, and I tell you, you know. And then we've got other things, you know. The liberal left is constantly absorbed with gun control. We have talked repeatedly about the asinine arguments that they lie about. We have talked repeatedly about how these mass shootings actually only account for about 3-4% of all the murders in the U.S., but those are the ones that make the news and make it look like guns are bad. And we have another example out of Chicago over the weekend. Chicago, Barack Obama's hometown, has probably the strictest gun laws throughout this nation. They're one of the two strictest gun law places is in Chicago. And yet, Chicago continues to lead in murders. This, over the weekend, the 4th of July weekend, there were a total number of 82 people shot. 82 people shot over the 4th of July weekend. That's one weekend in Chicago. That's normal. You've got 11 people who were killed. You know, this is disturbing. This is disturbing. And this has the most gun control of any place in the nation. So can anybody make a rational argument against guns? I mean, the crooks still have them. The criminals still have them. The murderers still have them. What is wrong with law-abiding people getting weapons? I saw this story earlier, and I was shocked at the amount of people. And that's hard to do, especially when you're considering Chicago.
Yeah, those numbers, you know, the amount of people killed, well, that's unbelievable. I mean, if that happened in a city the size of Louisville, it would be, you know, they would have a city on lockdown. But, yeah, the 80 people got shot, well, and then 11 got killed, well, they're not very good shots. I mean, you can think of that, but I'm thinking to myself, and there's the argument, yes, the guns come in from outside, but again, like I said, there's gun control, you know, and unless they purge all the guns, apparently with your gun control, the bad guys still figure out a way to get the guns because, you know, they're, I guess, to us it's irrational, but to them it's perfectly rational. You know, bad guy A wants a gun because bad guy B has a gun. You know, and bad guy A knows
right.
Bad guy B is a bad guy, so, you know, he wants an equalizer. So they're going to get it. You know, they're going to get, they make so damn much money selling drugs and other stuff, but it's okay. The price is not a problem. They're coming in one way or the other. They're getting them. You can't stop it. I mean, they can't stop anything. So, not that I'm saying throw up your hands, but yeah, the last thing you need to do, since obviously you failed so miserably at keeping guns out of the hands of bad guys and stupid people, the last thing you need to do is make this concerted effort to crack down on us law-abiding people who, you know, want to pay a good price for a good quality gun, and they want to target shoot every once in a while, and will, in all likelihood, go through their entire lives, no matter how many guns they have, never pointing it at or discharging it at another human being, because that's what responsible gun owners do. They don't shoot other people.
Well, you know, I mean, I personally, you know, I mean, I'm very familiar with weapons, military trained. I've got no problem using a gun if that's what it takes to save my life or the life of my family or someone else for that matter. You know, but it really comes down to this asinine argument that they continue trying to use to get control, because an unarmed populace is an easy populace to target by the government. I mean, it's just really that simple, and quite frankly, I think that we're really starting to see a lot of that. I want to take a quick break because I tell you why. We want to get into, or I want to get your opinion on this. We're going to get into these illegal immigrants that are being basically brought in, sent anywhere the government wants to hide them, and we're supposed to pay for it all. And that's going to take, I guarantee you, probably most of the rest of the hour. So stick around, folks. So there's some other information coming out today, and I want to present to you a couple of things to think about. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springer of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Guys that are new to the show or old to the show, call in numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 if you're in the Louisville area. And for you guys that are in the listening queue, as always, hit that number one on your dial pad and we'll get you on as soon as we can. You know, Ed, I tell you, we're going into break and I'm talking a little bit about this. And what we're really seeing here right now, I think, it's really an orchestrated effort to destroy the American economy. I really do. I think that we're seeing this orchestrated effort to destroy the American economy and bring us to our knees. Now, this sounds like conspiracy theory. I totally get that. But there is no way, I think, that we can avoid having a conversation with that. One of the biggest reasons is what's going on now. One of the biggest things that hasn't been reported in the mainstream media that's starting to gain ground now is something that's been going on for a while. And the fact is that President Obama declared this humanitarian crisis strategy to bring illegal immigrants in here that are essentially used to push his political agenda. The first thing they do is they get brought into the country. They sign up for all of these daggone benefits, costing thousands and thousands of dollars per person to the U.S. government or us, the taxpayers, money that we don't have that we have to borrow. And then these illegal aliens are being sent all over the country and basically, you know, dropping off wherever they want to drop off. You know, anybody that comes into this country illegally has a court date. They're supposed to be, you know, judged to see if there was a crisis that they were supposed to be here for or not. And 90% of these illegal aliens just disappear once they hit U.S. soil. And they're never brought into court to prove whether they need to be here. So what we're finding out now is that many communities across America today, the citizens are actually feeling the impact of this. We had a great example last week out of California. A place in California, we had a few dozen protesters show up and block the buses of these illegal aliens that were being brought from Texas to California. We've got now know that we have three main military bases that are actually being used to house illegal immigrants and get them signed up for welfare benefits. Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, where I went to basic training. We've got an Army base in Oklahoma. And there's one more. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head right now. Dang it, I hate that. But, you know, to tell you how bad they're trying to hide all of this, an Oklahoma congressman, Representative Jim Bridenstine, showed up at Fort Sill Army Base in Oklahoma to take a look at what was going on when this was brought to his attention. And unfortunately, he wasn't even allowed into the base as a congressman. It is being run, the base is actually being run by a private security firm that we call Brown Shirts. Remember that name from history? You know, and all these things are going on. We actually talked a little bit about this last week, but he wasn't allowed in. They told him he had to schedule an official visit, or a formal visit, if you will, and they wouldn't allow that before July the 21st, so they'd have 3 weeks to clean up at that point. You know, and the exterior of the place had brand new fencing that was completely surrounding everything. It was covered with material to make sure that no one could see inside. Every gate is chained closed. They're definitely hiding something, and we'll get to that in a minute, what they are hiding. But, you know, this is disturbing on many levels, is it not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is we know straight off the top they're illegals. Yeah, and I'm reluctant to use that term sometimes, you know, because they, especially when it's kids, because it's like, is the kid really illegal or is he just a victim of circumstance? And he's not illegal. He's just undocumented. He's here beyond his control, he or she. But yeah, I mean, they are not U.S. citizens, so this should not be shouldn't be real complicated. They need to go back, and the adults need to go back. That's just like that is simple. That part is simple. You're not a U.S. citizen. You don't have any papers. You don't have any documentation. You don't have anything that would say otherwise. Clearly, you came from whether it's Central America or Mexico. You need to go back. You need to just give us a one word. Yeah, you know, tell us what village you're from, and we send you back. Instead of sending you up into the continental United States on a bus and literally spreading out the problem, you know, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to spread the problem out thin enough to where, you know, these things don't look quite like concentration camps or anything. But they're just trying to get it spread out to, you know, nobody knows, nobody can get a grasp on how many have come in. But it is a humanitarian, it's a crisis, and a lot of these are kids, but...
I don't agree that this is a crisis. I don't agree with that.
Well, it is when they're coming, you know, they come flooding across your border. What are you going to do? You shoot a bunch of kids? I mean, it's just, they're basically dumping these kids on us. It's just like the Cuban boat crisis. These places, they're just putting them on boats. You can't really let them sink at sea, and you can't let these kids die in the desert either. So it is a humanitarian crisis. it's not of our making. So our, if I'm going to would say anything, our president needs to grow a set. Our Secretary of State needs to grow a set. A lot of people in government need to grow a set, and they need to hold the government in Mexico to the fire and say, listen, fine. These are real people. Get a handle on it. You know, my God, on one hand, it's like you're running your country so poorly that these people will spend every dime they've got and risk their lives and possibly being killed out in the desert and buried in a shallow grave to get out of your country. You know, we need a president who's going to sit there and lower the boom on the world stage and say, look, your country right now, you suck. You suck on an epic level. Don't just sweep it under the rug. This is a humanitarian crisis, but it's an international. When it's international, I mean some other country is involved. Why are we busting Mexico balls on this stuff?
Well, here's the thing. You ever heard of a thing called Rent-A-Kid? Have you ever heard that term? You've never heard the term Rent-A-Kid? Because that's essentially what's going on here. What's really going on here is most of these people are coming from Central America, not Mexico. Most of these people are coming from Central America. And what ultimately happens here, and Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar, he's a Democrat out of Laredo, Texas, a Democrat, mind you. You know, he said he was talking to somebody that worked for Border Patrol. And in the late 80s, there were a lot of kids from El Salvador coming in. And it's because El Salvador had instituted what was called a Rent-A-Kid program. And basically, in other words, what they basically said was, if I come in and I have a kid with me, they'll let me go. And that was being sent around Central America. As long as you have a kid with you, you're going to be able to stay, okay? And this is exactly what's going on now. And what's ultimately happening is these illegal immigrants are being released by the thousands each and every week, you know, all over the place. And that if you come in with a kid, you're going to get to stay. Now, there are a lot of parents and a lot of sponsor families who are paying thousands of dollars for this free, cheap child labor. That's exactly what's going on. I don't call it a humanitarian crisis because the kids are suffering. You know, if we're going to take the kids, great, kill the parents because they don't care about the kid, and they're the ones that brought them on. We're taking someone else's social responsibility and obligations into our country when we're not even taking care of our own. If we're using barracks at Lackland Air Force Base in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, the Army base, if we're using these unused barracks to house illegal immigrants and signing them up for government assistance, why are these things not being given to our veterans who are homeless? Those are the questions. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, absolutely. Is it the medical care, the everything? I understand the medical care. They got to get in, make sure somebody's not bringing some epidemic in here. But absolutely, we're spending resources with homeless vets, with homeless families that aren't best. We've got all these problems of our own, and yet we're allowing these people to come up from the southern countries and absorb the resources. I mean, I don't know, they're not taking anything from you or I, but yes, there are some very needy and very deserving Americans, you know, especially ones that have been chewed up by, you know, our ongoing military-industrial complex-type wars, you know, that we're not sure, you know, expending trillions of dollars fighting over a pile of rocks. But, yeah, I mean, we've got people who are just, they are at the pinnacle of deserving it, the veterans. And I said, unused military barracks? Oh, my God, please, really? You got vets sleeping on the street? A high percentage of homeless people are vets? And now you're giving this to somebody who has never paid the first cent in taxes or in sacrificing for fighting for, you know, liberty and freedom. Put their life on the line. And now these homeless, I mean, in a strange way, I can only hope that the homeless vets are not aware of what's going on, because it would have to hurt them something unbelievable. It's a parent say, what do you mean? Somebody prostituting kids, bringing them across the border, and they get a warm or a cool place to sleep, and I'm out here. Great. You know,
Well, there's more to it.
Ultimate insult right there.
And there's more to it than that, too. You mentioned medical a second ago. There's a government-contracted private security force that was hired by the Department of Health and Human Services, I believe is who it was, but they hired this private security firm called BCFS. BCFS supervisors refer to themselves as the brown shirts, which is a Hitler-esque term. The brown shirts went in and threatened everybody, and you either adhesed or you got killed. And this security force threatened every doctor and nurse that if they said anything about the contagious disease threat that was going on at Lackland Air Force Base, they would be arrested. And, you know, basically you wouldn't hear from them again at that point, but they would be arrested. This is according to a psychiatric counselor at Lackland Air Force Base. So we're looking at this. They're not allowed to do that. The brown shirts are making sure they're not there. Everybody's paranoid. If the workers had a cell phone on them or any other type of communication device, they were immediately fired and questioned. And according to these health professionals, it wasn't a good atmosphere for health. They were worried about disease, contagious diseases, and everything else. They had everything from scabies, to all these contagious diseases, to lice. I mean, they were giving stories about some kids that the lice was so bad, the lice were just crawling all over their body, you know, and they couldn't contain it all. And what was going on was that all of these people were being transported, to Lackland Air Force Base and these other places on domestic charter buses that me and you would use, airplanes, public airplanes that me and you would use, you know, like a Delta or a Southwest or whoever they're using, all right? Nobody knows if these kids have all the contagious diseases. What's going to happen when you get on that plane or that bus? We're going to create a major disease that's going to sweep this nation. That's how that kind of stuff gets here, and nobody's doing anything about it, and the ones who can do something about it were ordered not to, or they were in big, big trouble. You know, they had one kid, for example, in this story, you know, that one kid was so bad off, he was so suicidal, he was so psychotic that they needed to take him to a professional psych unit, you know, outside the base. Instead of taking that kid to a psych unit, they went ahead and took the kid and shipped him off to another family in the U.S. and wouldn't tell anybody where he went. You know, this is the stuff that we have to deal with. So when we look at all of this in play, now we've got even more coming up. We have got the situation now where you're putting this financial burden. Let me give you an idea what the financial burden is, because I don't really want to get to an Arizona senator, what he's really trying to do here, and I think it's great. But when you look at the financial burden that is put on us in the U.S., then let's look at this. Why is it easier sometimes for people to live on welfare than it is to work? Maybe it's because welfare pays too much. If you're taking people from Central America and bringing them here and giving them thousands of dollars each month to live on, they're going to live on it. That's living like a king compared to where a lot of these people come from. But here's what you got. Let's take a place like, Hawaii. Would you like to live on a beach in some sort of a bungalow where it's 85 degrees year-round, not really having to worry about weather too much, you know, except for the occasional hurricane, for free? Hawaii costs $60,590 a year is what they give to each person on welfare. That's an average of almost $30 an hour, folks. If you want to continue going down that list, all the way down to, let's go down to number 34. 34 is South Carolina. That's the last one that averages double-digit hourly wage, and that's at $10.53 an hour. Kentucky averages $6.42 an hour, or about $13,000 a year. Indiana and our surrounding areas are fairly close. You know, we look at all of this stuff, but Ohio pays $12.60 an hour on government benefits. Now, how do we pay for all that when the majority of people are making $9 to $12 an hour in this country, and we're giving out benefits upwards of $15, $16 to $30 an hour? That's the problem, and we're going to go ahead and put this other influx in here. Well, here's the thing that really concerns me the most. our lovely government is out of places to hide these kids. They are out of places to hide these kids. So they now have sent out an email to every local community looking for some way to house them. The White House is asking all local lawmakers to help find facilities to house thousands of illegal immigrants. They specifically use the word immigrant kids. I don't like that, illegal immigrant, because kids are being sent here by their parents. The parents need to be held accountable. But this came from FEMA. It was sent out by the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. And the email was acquired by KFI News. Let's give them credit. That's where I got the story. It was KFI AM 640. And it's requesting emergency shelter options. And what they're trying to do is reach a lease agreement with these local communities. So they're looking for anybody and everything they can. They want facilities that are within 50 miles of a major city and airport. Louisville, of course, would qualify, and the surrounding area would. They want a property that is able to be fenced in and secure so that they can lease it. Able to be fenced in. They're going to fence it in for you. And the suggestions for the types of facilities that it wants, Ed, if you have existing abandoned office space, warehouses, big box stores, hotels, dorms, of course, aircraft hangars, and shopping malls. And they want to lease that property, fence it up so nobody can see in there, and throw thousands of illegal immigrants in there with some serious health issues that with contagious diseases. How does that make us feel?
Well, you know, I hear that, and it's like, yeah, that's definitely scary. You know, no shortage of science fiction out there. You know, movies that would have us believe we're going to be overrun by a disease. And sooner or later, we probably will. But when I hear that, what I hear is, a la Louisville, a la Kentucky, I can't help but to stop and think, oh, well, this is where some politically connected, friend of the city council, friend of the mayor, friend of the governor is going to say, hey, wait a minute, I got this old strip mall that's falling apart, and you mean you're going to pay me a healthy rent? You're going to put a fence up? So now I'm hearing that people, wow, on top of everything else, what a gift to developers who maybe rolled the dice and came up short, had a bad business plan, took too much money out of it, whatever. You know, if you got a friend in politics, they'll be calling you up soon, and it's like, hey, guess what? You don't have to have a presentable strip mall. You don't have to have a presentable warehouse. We're just going to stuff a bunch of kids in there and treat them like stray animals, and we're going to pay you for it. So, hey, cha-ching.
And that's exactly true, and that seems to be the biggest problem. You know, we're going to do this. So this is nothing more, to me, than the standard stuff. You know, now what's really, really interesting to hear, and I want to make sure we get to this story as well. Everybody wants to blame President Obama for this, and I will blame President Obama and the liberal Democrats, but even President Obama is finally understanding, and I tell you why. Late last week, he asked for $2 billion from Congress to go ahead and start doing his job. Let me get this for you. He asked for $2 billion in a bill to respond to what he called the border crisis. He asked for Congress to urge lawmakers to revise the 2008 law, which is called the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. What it basically did, he wants them to revise that to allow for accelerated deportation. And this is why. Because we have 52,000 unaccompanied children, 39,000 women with children that have been apprehended at Texas border so far this year. Three out of every four of these illegal immigrants are from countries other than Mexico. Now, here's the way the current law reads that he wants changed. The children who originate in Mexico or Canada can be returned immediately if they don't pass an initial screening interview by a Border Patrol agent to determine whether a credible fear exists. What that means is if a Border Patrol agent stops you at the border and asks you some questions and decides that there's not an immediate credible fear giving you permission to jump into this country, he's going to turn you around on the bus and say, go back. We don't want you. Border Patrol agents have that kind of power with Mexican and Canadian citizens, but they don't have that with anybody else. Anybody else has to go into the Homeland Security process, which is the biggest concern. So what we've got here is we've got legislation by Arizona Congressman, Republican Arizona Congressman, Representative Matt Salmon, who has decided he would go ahead and answer Obama's challenge. Now, we talk about bipartisanship, right? The president realizes that we're screwed up. He just allowed that to happen because of a 2008 law that now he wants to change. He was okay with it when he voted for it, but now he wants to change it because it's going to do this. But more importantly, it's an election year. So the liberals are going to be all kinds of stuff over this. But even Obama is taking crap from the liberal left over this. But a Republican representative is the one who actually had to bring this up. A Democrat congressman would not. That is bad. But Salmon is also the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee. And he's also part of a group that Speaker John Boehner put together to address this. And this is something he's been doing for a while, so I guess it makes sense he's doing it. But, you know, Obama called for this last week, and now the liberal left is crying and screaming. They don't like it. Guess what? Sorry about your luck. I mean, that's really the way that I look at it. So what do we do with it, man? What do we do with it?
Like I said, you know, you're not from this country, you need to go back. It's that simple. Just because it sounds hateful, maybe it doesn't. But it's simply impractical to, given everything from the dialects to the differences in languages and cultures, the impossibility of determining whether they're criminals or not, violent or not, the costs associated with the potential healthcare crisis that is coming across our borders. When overwhelmed, we need to close the border, and we need to simply turn people back around. What they need to allocate money for is buses and planes and, you know, trains and everything else. It's give us the name of a country and a town you're from. It's going to cost us a little money, but you're going back. And when you go back, tell everybody, everybody's going to see, we need to get them back quick. Because one of the other problems you think about, logistically speaking, is when these people leave maybe a month ago or whatever from their home country and they go north and they don't come back, with lack of communication, you pretty much have to assume, hey, they made it. They're in America. Maybe they found air conditioning and clean water. Who knows? Some more keep coming. We need to send them back. We need to send them back quickly so that the next guy that's thinking it might be a good idea to pay some coyote or human trafficker to get his children up to, America, he sees these other kids coming back and says, oh, no. Everyone we saw leave came back. This is not a good plan. And that's what we need to do. We need to do it, and we need to do it fast.
Well, and that's a big situation. I mean, and really this bill should be one of the simplest things to pass through Congress, because all the Salmon bill is doing exactly what President Obama requested, which we'll agree with. I'll agree with President Obama on this. All they want to do is change the language. Because as I said, the current law says that children who originate in Mexico or Canada can be returned immediately by a Border Patrol agent at their discretion. All right? And that's all Obama and Salmon have agreed on, is that they just want to extend that power to Border Patrol agents for anybody who is coming in from Central America. Let's not define it just by Mexico or Canada. Let's define it by all. And that's what I agree with, and that should be the way it is. Let the Border Patrol agents make the instant decision, and if they don't like it, tough. They're illegals if they're in here any other way. We can stop the big flood of this, so we can get control of it. But then you're going to have the liberal left. You're going to have the child welfare advocates that are out there screaming, but how can we expect a kid without a parent or guardian to share their traumatic experience with a complete stranger under these circumstances? Well, let me tell you something, you liberal left junkies. Those same parents or guardian are the ones who brought him there, or the ones who sent them here, and hey, got somebody to pay them for doing so, or they paid somebody to do it. Let's put the problem where it lies. Let's not put it on my shoulders. These kids were sent here by their parents. What is the value of their own children to them? And that's the problem, Ed. So I don't know. That's where I'm at on it.
I would say not only that, but this big, mighty, high-tech, NSA-powered government with our drones and everything else, if you think about it, with the way the law is currently written, and like I say, it's unusual. We'll agree with Barack Obama on this one. But if you're going to smuggle somebody up, you know, you can play the whole don't speak English thing, and they can look, the smugglers can look at these kids and say, look, no matter what they say to you, you only say one word to them, you know, and it's like, because if you sit there and say Guatemala, or you say or something like that, or any country other than Mexico, you know, they know the rules too. Hey, my God,
of course.
Just say, look, whatever, you know, you could be from right across the border in Mexico, but then they could just look at you and words out, look, when the Border Patrol asks you stuff, you just act like you don't understand and just say, Guatemala, or something like that, you know, El Salvador, it's like, where are you from, you know, they could ask in Spanish, where are you from, El Salvador, you know, whatever,
right.
And you have literally, with one word, with one answer, you can gum up the entire American system, the way the law is currently written.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it, and that's exactly what's going on.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's exactly what's going on. That's what we need to correct. Man, I tell you, these hours fly by. There's so much more I want to get into, but we're not going to have any time tonight. Final thoughts, my friend.
Final thoughts. Hey, you heard us agree with Barack Obama. You know, this is one of those cases where, you know, I think everybody in America just longs for, you know, a clean bill coming out of Congress every once in a while. It's like, look, guys, uneducated people, you know, and educated people can gum up your system with one answer. That, to me, is an indicator, and it can be, they don't even have to back the answer up. It can be completely false. It can be completely rehearsed. You just tell them, you know, just don't admit you're from Mexico or Canada, and you can gum up our entire immigration system. That should be one of the biggest no-brainers Congress has ever had put before them. Like, really, you know, they should look at every congressman and say, yes, this is where we're at right now. Our entire border can be gummed up. We can assume, we will be assuming enormous costs because of the way this law is written. Just get in there and change it. We've got a Republican, and we also have a Democrat president who agree. Anybody could agree on this. So it's like, that's one that I just wish, then they won't get it done, because I hate to say it, but the Republicans will probably oppose it because Obama opposes it, and Democrats will oppose it because, quietly, you know, because there's a Republican involved, and they don't want to be pegged as being heartless or something. So it's just dysfunctional government, yet they demand respect for us. But I don't even know where to begin to tell people, hey, call your congressman up, tell them, look, guys, this is the biggest no-brainer going. Vote it clean, get it changed, because we have a financial crisis, we have a health crisis, we have a humanitarian crisis, we have a national security crisis, and in large part, it's because the law was written and there's some unintended consequences, and boom, here we are. We got to get it fixed as a matter of national security and everything else.
Well, I totally agree with you, and that seems to be the biggest problem. We never get anything fixed because nobody wants to sit here and do their job. I mean, it really is that simple. It is so, they're so worried about being reelected and protecting themselves, their party, or their egos or their assets. You know, insert any excuse you want to here, but the bottom line is no one represents the American people anymore. What I see here, even though President Obama called for this last week and changing the law, which I commend him for, I really do. But let's face facts. For the few weeks leading up to this, this story wasn't just brought to light. Mainstream media has been ignoring it, but we've been talking about this for a long time, you know, for months now. So when you bring all of this to light, you're in the middle of a political tag-on season. You want to maintain the House, or you want to maintain the Senate, maybe get the House for the party, and the American people are finally responding to this illegal immigrant challenge. You know, you have to change direction to maintain power. And they've got just enough time, if they do that now, to make an effect in the November elections. That's what brought it about. But at the end of the day, whatever brought it about to me is irrelevant right now, because at the end of the day, we're finally going to have something done Hopefully. It is interesting that the Democrats weren't the ones to sponsor this legislation or attempt to sponsor this legislation. It was a Republican who had to sponsor legislation for the Democratic president who had been doing everything he could to avoid Congress. That is really an interesting contrast today, anyway. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Dale the Truth will be here with his Tuesday Night Truth Show. I'll return Wednesday and Thursday at 7 o'clock, same time, same channel. Maybe Mr. Martin can tear himself away and join us one of those nights. And our good friend Ken Mulman will be here on Sunday night at 7. In the meantime, that's a wrap, folks. Have a great night. And thank you so much, Mr. Martin.
All right, Mr. Springsteen.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yes.